This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money, but are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
I'm Alec Baldwin, and you're listening to Here's the Thing from iHeartRadio. Energy, charisma, fire, and unmistakable hair. These are just a few of the words to describe the mesmerizing stage presence of Venezuelan conductor Rafael Payarre. This is Payarre conducting Mahler's Symphony No. 5 with the Montreal Symphony Orchestra. He first gained attention as the winner of Denmark's 2012 Malko International Conducting Competition. Since then, the 43-year-old has conducted many of the world's preeminent orchestras, including London, Boston, Chicago, New York, and L.A. He was also principal conductor of the Castleton Festival in Virginia and led the Ulster Orchestra of Northern Ireland. Payarre has been the music director of the San Diego Symphony since 2019, and this is his first year as music director of the Montreal Symphony, positions he currently holds simultaneously. Payarre's road to such prestige began at Venezuela's fabled El Sistema, a music education program whose illustrious alumni include Gustavo Dudamel, the newly appointed music director of the New York Philharmonic. I wanted to know how El Sistema began and how Payarre found his way to it.
Well, El Sistema is started this wonderful program that Dr. José Antonio Abreu created in Venezuela back in 1975. And the whole idea is that the music should be part of the education and that music is a right and not a privilege. So we should be able to access to music, and we have that. One of the things of El Sistema is that actually you just go to one of the nucleus, they call it nucleus, all of these different, you cannot say conservatoire because there are some of them that they are mainly bare bones. So it depends, that's why we call them nucleus. It depends what part of the city they are. And they give you the instrument, they will give you the teacher, you just need to show up, but you start playing an instrument and at the same time you start playing in an orchestra. So you are always part of a bigger kind of community. So since the very beginning, it's that's the, let's say, the unorthodox part, that it's you already start playing your instrument and you immediately start playing in a symphony orchestra right away. So that's the part that, let's say, is not as normal in the rest of the world.
But it's not a music school like Curtis or Manus. It's not a school
that's
granting you a degree. It's more of an academy.
Well, that's why they call it Nucleus, because it's just... You will not get a degree. Of course, then you could go to school and everything altogether, but it is actually a place that they will be teaching music. You just need to appear there. They will give you the instrument, they will give you the teachers, and you will start playing an orchestra. The idea is you don't have to be underprivileged for everybody, but of course, a big aim is trying to be for the underprivileged people that they might be poor. And the whole idea is that somebody, just because he's poor, he should not have a poor education. So they always bring into El Sistema people from everywhere in the world, from Manhattan School of Music, Juilliard, Sibelius Academy, Berlin Philharmonic, to try to go and teach and to do master classes for any of the students there.
Now you, when you were in your performing career, you played the French horn, correct?
That is correct, yes.
And who chose the French horn, you or someone chose it for you?
Well, I think the French horn chose me somehow, because my brother, he was playing in the orchestra already. My brother is 8 years my senior. He was playing a bassoon, but, you know, he did his thing in his room, and I did mine. And then was one day I approached his room, and he was listening to something, and that caught my attention. He asked me, do you like it? I said, yes. So he said, I'm going to take you to the orchestra tomorrow. And then I went there and I started. Many months later, I found out that what he was listening to was the 1812 overture. And what caught my attention was the Marseillaise theme. And it was the horn sound that caught my attention. And I went into this Nucleus, the conductor of the orchestra. He was not only the conductor of the orchestra, but also the teacher of trumpet, trombone, French horn, and tuba. His name was Antoine Duhamel, and he gave me this, and he gave me this bronze, thin, brassy thing and told me, blow, I did, and it sounds. And that's how I started playing the French horn.
That's amazing. That's amazing. How long were you at Sistema?
Oh, well, I like to say that I'm still part of it. I mean, we started since 1994 to this day, pretty much, yeah.
Right. And from there... Do you go to a formal music school?
Yeah, in Caracas, you get your instrument and you wanted to get better and better. Then I moved to Caracas because I was part of that generation when Gustavo was also part. We started with the National Children Orchestra, then it was the National Youth Orchestra, and then Simón Bolívar Youth Orchestra, and then Simón Bolívar Orchestra. And in Caracas, we go to a proper university. But the thing was that because the orchestra was getting a lot of tours and a lot of things, so we kind of need to do things a little bit differently. And in my case, when I started conducting, that it was a path that Maestro Abreu kind of opened the door for me, I got one-on-one classes. So I got all of the things, but instead of having a full semester and going every day, I just have very focused and immersion class of 6-7 hours one-on-one to try to get all of this, because I had to keep, you know, rehearsing and doing things.
It sounds like the classical world is like college football, that, you know, they're going to help you get through your grades because you're such a great quarterback.
Something like that, a little bit, yeah.
You're a great French horn player, so we're going to take care of everything for you. You just keep playing that horn, pal. You just keep blowing those notes, and we're going to take care of your grades.
Something like that, yeah, you could say that. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. But now, when you're there, when you are at Simón Bolívar, you're playing principal horn for Simón Bolívar between 2001 and 2012. You're
correct.
Touring and you're recording. And you were around some of course, these titans of the classical repertoire in terms of music directors. You're around Abbado, who I worship. I mean, I worship no
Absolutely.
One more than Abbado. Mazel, who I worship. Rattle, I don't know, but I love him. And Sinopoli, of course, is a great legend. Mm-hmm. And when you're around them, and when you're in that world and you're performing, when does someone tap you on the shoulder and say, come with me, and they want to start to talk about you picking up a baton? Who first suggests that to you, when and where?
Well, with him, the very first one that actually talked to me about it was actually Maestro Abreu. he was the very first one. I got very inspired by Giuseppe Sinopoli. He did a tour with the National Children's Orchestra, and we were 150 kids playing Rienzi Overture from Wagner, and he did not speak Spanish, and then he changed the sound of the orchestra within seconds, and that really impressed me. And said, like, I would like to do that one day when my hair is all white, you know, and I'm old. I will do that. But then with Maestro José Antonio Abreu showed me the path and started having this. And then at the same time, Maestro Abado was coming, Mazel was coming, Rattle was going into Venezuela. So I got kind of look at the one-on-one thing. And at the same time, Gustavo and I were very good friends. Gustavo was already doing all of this conducting, and I was his first horn. So I was very supportive of him looking in the orchestra. Okay, I make sure that the horn section is always going to be on top form for the concerts with Gustavo. So it was kind of an organic thing to be going through. But at the same time, while I was sitting in the orchestra, it was like college kind of experience. I was just getting all of the things from all of these amazing conductors, and those was getting in my head somehow, all of the information, how they work with the orchestra.
So the first time you step on a podium with a baton in your hand, or without one for that matter, is when?
The very first one, it could have been already with a brass ensemble, because I was with a brass quintet, and we used to teach kids. We go into different cities in the country, and we arrive on a Thursday, we play a concert, teach Friday, Saturday, and on Sunday, we put a little brass ensemble together. So that was the first time that without a baton, I did something. And then for real, in front of an orchestra, I think was around 2007, I think.
With who?
It was the Youth Orchestra of Maracaibo, and it was a master class in conducting with the South Korean conductor Sun Kwak was dictating that. Uh-huh. And during that thing, he picked who was going to do which part of the concert, and he decided that I was going to actually close the masterclass with the last movement of Tchaikovsky's Fifth Symphony.
Now, just to get back to the horn for one second, did it come naturally, that French horn, to you, or was it something that you had to work extra hard on?
Well, the French horn, it's a very ungrateful instrument, and any French horn player would agree with me. We love the instrument, but sometimes it just get you back to earth in the most unlikely places or moment when you think you're on the top of the world, you have a crack. But actually, with the French horn, I think that it was a wonderful instrument, that it was very nice fitted for me. And I always had that love, sometimes hate relationship, but mostly love.
Now, I want to put the cards on the table here. I went to go see you, and I'm there at Carnegie Hall, and my wife or someone said to me, what was Pajari like on the podium? And I said, he had the athleticism of Dudamel and even Jaap, because von Swaden is very, very hopping around the podium. He's very active from the waist down. I said, Pajari reminds me of Dudamel from the waist down, and he reminds me of Dutoit from the waist up. He's very elegant. He's athletic and elegant at the same moment, at the same time. He's very, very powerful, even convulsive when he wants to. And then he's pulling it back dramatically, and he's in complete control of his body. And there's an exuberance, and there's a spasmodic quality to his body only when needed. And then, Dutoit was my favorite, and I was friends with Charlie and Chantal. They were dear friends of mine. And I watched you up there, and I thought, is this your style? That this is what came out of you? Did you model yourself after somebody? Was somebody your inspiration?
No, not really. I still don't know how I look like, and I don't like to look at videos of me. My God, that's terrible. But
you should watch it because it's fabulous.
Yeah.
It's really fabulous.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that. But in reality, no, I think that was one of the things that my mentor, José Antonio Abreu, said, like, look, you just get enough information and the body will find its way to express itself what you want to do with music. So I will not know what will be my style at all. I do have to say that together with Gustavo, we used to watch videos of Carlos Kleiber and, of course, of Claudio Abado as well, because they're just amazing, fantastic conductors. But no, I do not try to shape or do any kind of movement on purpose or conscious. Like, it's just what my body likes to do. It's like my hair, you know, it has a life on its own. There's nothing I can do about it. It's whenever it goes one way, it's like, okay, fine.
Well, I was going to say, I think that they should rearrange the stage, because it's tough to see some of the performers over your hair. they should change the seating plan. I hope they've allowed. I hope they've factored your hair and the height of your hair into the seating plan. But anyway, now, all these legends, I didn't meet all of them. I met Mazel when he was just leaving New York. Charlie I knew, Eschenbach. I met a bunch of these people. Baron Boehm, you know, the contemporaries are the ones that are just cresting now into retirement. I met so many of them. And when I say that Charlie's my favorite, I should say he's among my favorites because I love Mazel as well. Now, you went to Castleton. I went down there and did a program. Dietlinda is his wife.
Absolutely.
Right, so Dietlinda, yeah. Mazel was gone, and she invited me to come down there to the Virginia countryside and do some program down there with one of her sons. I forget what it was. It was a kind of an odd little program, but I was very admiring of what she was doing. You went down there how often? How many trips did you make to Castleton?
Well, it started because the thing with Castleton, Mazel, when I won the Malco competition in 2012, Maestro Mazel was actually the chairman of the jury. And one of the things that it happened by winning the competition is that you were going to get a little bit like a tutor, kind of tutelage under Mazel. So I remember that it was very funny because the night of the gala, we did the final. I was announced that I was the winner. It's already 1 a.m. after the dinner with this whole thing, and I had to catch a plane back to going back to Venezuela. And I was like, well, my flight is at 6, so I need to go. Maestro, thank you very much for everything. It's like, no. Do not think that you are going to get rid of me that easily. You will come to now Castleton on July. And on July 7th, this is himself talking. I am going to conduct Beethoven 9, and I want you to open the concert and conduct Leonora number 3. I will send you my score, and I'll see you there. I mean, you know, Marcel tells you that, what you're going to do. It's like, yeah, of course. I went there, and it was fantastic. The state over there and all of the program that he was putting on there together, it was amazing. I did that. I conduct, he sent me his score. His score, it has metronome marking, fingerings, and everything all together. And there was a part of me that I was a little bit in shock because I thought, like, would he expect me to do all of his things in there or not? I don't know. And I will go with my gut feeling, and I will do how I listen to this music. So I got his score, but I did my tempos, I did my thing, and there was no complaint at all whatsoever. He actually was waiting for me there with his arms wide open and treat me like I was like his grandson or something. And he was so supportive.
He's a lovely man.
Absolutely. I mean, all of those things that people might think that he was cold or whatever, that's, they never really get to meet him. He was so warm. And it was funny because what you'll hear me conduct in Carnegie Hall was Mahler 5. My first time in Castleton, we were talking. I said, "Do you love Mahler?" It's like, "Yes." And do you do the Fifth Symphony? Yes, maestro. This is one of my pieces. So it's like, well, then you have to come next year and do Mahler 5th, which I did in 2013, and then the year after that, in 2014, we were going to do a concert together, a split concert, and I was due to travel there on a Monday, and he passed away on a Sunday.
Maestro Rafael Payare. If you enjoy conversations with gifted conductors, check out my episode with Paavo Järvi.
I have two girls right now who, they're very talented, but they don't know, what am I going to do in life? I never had ever that question because I wanted to not only to be a musician, I wanted to be a conductor. Why? Because my father was a conductor. I loved my father. I think he was having a lot of fun. And we're very close to this day. So it was done. It was a done deal. I wanted to be a conductor. And I never, ever wanted to be anything else, ever.
To hear more of my conversation with Paavo Järvi, go to hearsthething.org. After the break, Rafael Payare tells us how he shapes a music program and uses it to take the audience on a journey.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, for product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
I'm Alec Baldwin, and you're listening to Here's the Thing. This is Rafael Payare conducting Shostakovich's Symphony No. 11 with the San Diego Symphony Orchestra. Maestro Rafael Payare has had a meteoric rise since he won first prize at Denmark's Malko International Conducting Competition in 2012. I wanted to know how one judges something as misunderstood as conducting in the first place.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, conducting is a little bit like a voodoo thing. So having the competition is a little bit kind of strange, but I remember my time with Malko, we were 48 participant during that time, and it was going to be through 10 days. I remember my only goal, it was that maybe I will not get eliminated in the first round, because if I pass to the second round, the competition was going to pay for my hotel. So that was that was my main goal in the whole thing. I came from Venezuela, and it's like, I hope I don't get eliminated in the first round. But I mean, it was kind of nerve-wracking. I remember the first round, it was about 5 minutes different, and four completely round with different repertoire in the whole thing. There was one of the round that Marcel said, like, do not say one word. It is 7 minutes with three different pieces. Show everything with your hands. Then the third round is like, actually, we want you see rehearse. I mean, not me, all of the different participants. Then the fourth round, we have a piece that it was written for the competition, and we only got the score a month before, and then it was the final. So it was completely different, very different kind of experience. And you have this amazing orchestra, the Danish Radio, and they will be in, you are in front of them for a certain amount of time, and they will just react to what you do or right. play what
same orchestra that's being same conducted orchestra. By all 48 people.
Yep. And the repertoire, it was the pool of music, it was really, really, really wide. I mean, I remember it ranged from Mahler 7, Beethoven 4, Brahms 4, Bartok Concerto for Orchestra, Dvorak 7. I mean, the amount of music was, and the conductor, the resident a composer for that, it was Christos Penderecki. So he wrote a piece especially for that that we actually have to premiere in front of everybody, if you made it that far in the competition, yeah.
Now, soon thereafter, you go to Ulster, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Now, if I were to say, in some overly simplified way, what would be culturally and climatologically the opposite of Venezuela, the answer would be Ulster.
You can say that easily, that's for sure.
What happens to Rafael Payare when he shows up in the north of Ireland And you're there for 5 years, correct? I mean, obviously you leave and travel and guest conduct and do other things. But what was it like to, because I want you to describe to me the same with Ulster as with San Diego, and that is when you arrive. What's the vibe there? What's the audience?
Yeah, I mean, it was the first time I went there. The orchestra was fantastic and we have an immediate connection. And the thing is that the audience as well, they are so welcoming and so warm, very, very much so. So it was, I remember I went there for a concert, two Shostakovich piano concerto, opening with Ravel, Le Tombeau de Couperin, and then ending with a Firebird Suite. And the concert was absolutely great. And I remember we have the dinner after the concert and I sat down, you know, okay, it's time to have a steak, let's have a drink. And then the intendant of the orchestra said, like, what do you think if you are going to become our chief conductor? So I thought that she was joking, you know, and it's like, okay, yeah, why not? But okay, let's eat. And this is crazy. 2 days later, they actually called my agent and asked, and they offered. It was real, the whole thing. And then I came back and I said, like, yeah, why not? I mean, the connection with the orchestra was great and the audience was fantastic. However, coming from Venezuela, I already have an accent in English, but their accent is also very hard to understand the way they have it. But it was just fantastic to see this very rainy, gray sky all the time. And I find that really wonderful. I come from Puerto La Cruz and we have sun 365 days a year. So I was fine with having some gray in the sky and a lot of rain. So
I love Northern Ireland. I shot a movie in Belfast about 3 years ago. I had never been there before. I only went to the south. And I went up to the north for the first time, and I loved it. It's dreary, but it's poetically dreary. It's really very, very, very beautiful. Yeah,
absolutely. And the green, with the amount of water they have, the green, it has a particular kind of zest that is different from everywhere else. It's just wonderful.
Now, I'm going to ask the same thing about Ulster, which is, you're the music director, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So you're the music director there. But when you go to Ulster, when you go to San Diego and you're growing and your experience is growing, and then when you arrive in Montreal and they're not going to give the keys to that car to just anybody, you know, you really, really are at the big time now. What is your involvement in selecting the program? I'm on the board of the Phil here in New York. They have a music committee, and you know, they want to have discussions with the executive director and people in the committee and members of the staff and the maestro about what's going to be played. How much input do you have? Let's start with San Diego. When you go down there, how much input do you have into the program?
Oh, a lot, because I not only program my programs, I also have to overview. Of course, we have a team there, a wonderful team. The CEO with San Diego, Martha Gilmer, she used to be the artistic program of Chicago Symphony for 35 years.
Wow.
So she is also have the...
With Schulte.
Yeah, exactly. She went with Schulte, with Barenboim, with Haitink, with Boulez, with all of them, and Muti even. Yeah. So she had all of this experience. We also have our artistic team all together, and we just sit. But the whole thing is, I don't like to just program my program for the sake of programming.
And when you say my program, what do you mean?
My weeks.
The ones you're conducting.
Yeah, the one that I'm conducting, but it's actually how are we taking the audience into this kind of journey and this kind of voyage. And it's very important, the many different things that, let's say, the sound that I am looking the orchestra to develop more, so that is also had to do with the repertoire that you have, but not everything needs to be about that. We also need to be appealing for the audience and the people, what they are, our supporters, that they are going to be there. So normally what I do is just look at the last 20 years, 25 years, what they have been doing, what is lacking, and what there needs to be done. Also as well with what is my core repertoire and what I think that the orchestra needs to develop or explore or bring back. So yeah, it's a lot, but those conversations are really, really fun and they are ongoing for a long time. I remember the first time with San Diego, we started a conversation at 10 in the morning in Aspen and it ended at 7 p.m. I was even texting Martha when I was to the airport going to another orchestra. How about we do this and this? And then we go back and sit again for another 6 hours. Then Martha went to Berlin. We have another 2 days from 10 to 12 p.m. just talking and just trying to put the next 5 years of what do we want to do and where do we want the orchestra to go and how do we dream and make try to have all the things together. So, yeah, the input is quite big, I have to say.
Well, also, I'm wondering whether it be in San Diego. I know that not all the great ensembles are created alike in terms of their funding. Some of them have lots of endowments and cash, and some of them not so much. And I'm assuming that you as the music director are called upon, especially when you're young and vital like you. You know, you're not Blomstedt, who's 92 yeah. years old. They're not going to roll him out for the cocktail party maybe before the show. But for a young, energetic guy like you, are you pressed upon to participate in development and fundraising with the organization?
Well, I think it is very important, of course, because the fundraising, what is the fundraising for? To be able to make the dreams that we have happen. So sometimes we have some things, but I have to say that they are very smart how the way they do it. They don't do right. it too much, and they do yeah. it in a very
they
nice way.
They don't abuse that relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, when you're in San Diego, it's not one of the major venues, but they have a great, great tradition down there, don't they?
Yeah, indeed. And one of the things that is wonderful with San Diego is that I'm arriving into this period of time for the orchestra and the city that is actually having like a big push. It's a wonderful time to happen. I mean, we just opened this beautiful outdoor venue.
How do they pronounce that?
The Ray DeShale.
It is Ray De. Okay.
Yeah, and it's by the bay. I mean, it's San Diego has one of the best climates in the whole world. And then
yes.
you have this amazing shell surrounded by water with this ridiculously blue sky. And then from the stage, you could actually see Mexico. I mean, come on. You know, I mean, this is something that it's amazing.
You're and pointing you have to it, where you're going to have dinner after the show, right?
Yeah, immediately. And you could have that with maybe a little bit of tequila or not, but that's up to you.
I think you deserve anything you want, quite frankly, but go ahead.
thank you. And then you have this, and it's not only about that it's beautiful, but actually on stage they put the state-of-the-art sound system so the orchestra could really hear each other very well, and then that is projected into the lawn for the people to have an immersive experience as you will be in an indoor hall. So it's fantastic, and the orchestra is playing wonderfully, and now we're about to reopen because our hall has been into renovation and the orchestra is sounding great.
Well, let me ask you this. When you signed on for San Diego, did they tell you that Rady was on the drawing board? You knew that was coming?
No, I did not. It was already Martha's plan happening with this. But I mean, when I arrived there and they showed me the plans, it was amazing. And this is one of the most amazing things. We have our wonderful, one of the patrons there. When I was very fairly new in there, he asked me what the orchestra needed. And I said, like, wait, the hall that we're playing, it needs some work because the musicians, it will be better. They will even, the orchestra will go into a different status if you have an even better hall. And he brought some people, actually, the architects and acoustician that did Geffen Hall. They are the one doing the renovation in our hall, and we're going to be opening in November. So it's
wait, this is
exciting.
Where?
This is in San Diego.
Oh, this is in San Diego. So you're still working with them?
Oh yeah.
Are you in the transition phase now? Are you in that? Are you in that seam where you're slowly exiting San Diego to go to Montreal?
No, not at all. Actually, because in San
Diego,
you're
doing both at the same time.
Oh yes, yeah, absolutely.
You are the actual music director of both simultaneously.
Yep. Yeah. This is my first. I just extended my contract in San Diego for 4 years, and this is my first year in San Diego, and this is my first year in Montreal my first contract in Montreal started for 5 years. Yeah.
You don't really like to have time off, do you?
Well, I mean,
I'm joking. Now, an important question for my listeners, because, of course, I've been to SPAC. With Charlie, I've been to Tanglewood countless times. I've been to Ravinia, the Hollywood Bowl, obviously. I mean, I've been to some of the outdoor venues that are really, really beautiful. Well, if you're not in Carnegie Hall, if you're not in Severance Hall, if you're not in one of the great halls around the world, and you're outside, what adjustments do you need to make in your work?
Well, it depends. Sometimes there are things, depending how is the outdoor venue, there are some of them that they have a wonderful setup. And this is, for instance, where San Diego is absolutely world class, because now with our venue, it has the Meyer sound system on stage. So we actually play on stage as if we were in an indoor venue. We do exactly the same. We could go into the softer dynamic to the loudest and get all of this color. Because then they actually get that into the mics, and that is what's coming out on the lawn.
Right. So they got it right.
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing. You forget that you are outdoors until all of a sudden there's a helicopter going by or a party boat.
Right. I was going to say. Maestro Rafael Paiari. If you're enjoying this episode, don't keep it to yourself. Tell a friend, and be sure to follow us on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. When we return, Rafael Payare shares how a good pairing with an orchestra is like falling in love.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
I'm Alec Baldwin, and this is Here's the Thing. This is more of the San Diego Symphony performing Shostakovich's Symphony No. 11 in G minor, conducted by my guest today, Maestro Rafael Payare. Between his music director position with the San Diego Symphony and constant travel across the globe working with the world's greatest orchestras, Rafael Payare's schedule is typically jam-packed. When the Montreal Symphony came calling, amidst an already hectic time in Payare's career, I was curious how the pairing came to be.
Well, it was kind of funny, let's say, because I had a concert with them in September 2018. I had a concert with them. I was invited as a just guest conductor. You know, maybe my manager was aware that they were looking for a music director. I was not. I just went there to make music to one of the world-class orchestras, and I was very happy that I was going to do that. And it's very funny because a few months back, I was just announced in San Diego. So I went to Montreal my first week with them, and when I finished, I flew to San Diego to do the press conference of what was going to be my first season. It was fairly at the very beginning of their search. The chemistry with the orchestra was phenomenal. I remember we did a program of Schönberg Verklärte Nacht, Mozart Violin Concerto No. 3 with their concertmaster as a soloist, and then Beethoven No. 3. That was the program. We did that. It was great. Audience was fantastic. I left. I went to San Diego. Then I was still in Belfast. I went to do some things. The people from Montreal came to Belfast to visit me, and they said that they actually wanted me to come back in July if I would accept and do that, because the orchestra really liked me and they really want me to be again. And it's like, sure, yeah, I mean, of course, no problem. In July, actually, I was happened to be free, and I went with them and to do some Tchaikovsky and some more, and the connection with the orchestra is just got even bigger. And it was even better. And then they were still in their process. And I was just about to start my tenure of music director in San Diego. So starting that, they went to some of the concert, and then they start talking to me a little bit more serious, like, you think that it would be a good idea for you to come back? And it's like, before I do any of that, I need to see what the orchestra has been doing in the last 25 years and things like that, you know? But then COVID hit, and I think I was considered, but they were not finished in their process. And then during COVID times, by the end in November, they asked me and said, like, look, the orchestra has voted. You are the one that wants us to take this. But no one knew. This was embargo. And I had to go. It's like, please come. You are going to do a concert that it was programmed before, a concert that I needed to do with them in January 2021. But I had to do 14 days of quarantine because of it was COVID time. And I went there. The orchestra had no idea what was going on because everything was secretive. And then they did over Zoom, they called the orchestra. But that was on January 6th. Of 2021. So the world in this side was kind of going through a rumble. And in there, they were about to get a new lockdown. So the orchestra was a little bit afraid that that meeting was going to be to give some bad news. And actually, when they said that it was me, the whole thing changed. And then we start having rehearsal. And we did concert that weekend. And then it was a lockdown. But I was already there for 14 days. So we can go for the next 10 days. It was like when you get to know somebody and you fall in love on the first time. That's what kind of happens.
Now, one should assume maybe, or I'm going to assume, that when you become the music director of something like Montreal, you don't come walking in there and meet them on the first day. You've guest conducted there before, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
So you have a bit of a sense and a feel for them and them for you. So it's not like a blind date when you show up there to become the boss.
Yeah,
Been around them and you got a taste of how they do things. With the various ensembles that you have been the director of or you've guest conducted, someone once told me, violin's violin. And everybody that has a chair in a major symphony orchestra who plays the violin are among the greatest violin players in the world, let's face it. But for you, I'm wondering, for you, did you have a prejudice? Did you have a leaning because of you being a French horn player? Do you listen more acutely to the horns?
Not particularly. Actually, when I go into an orchestra, especially for the first time, it's all about, let's see how the sound of the orchestra reacts to my beat, and let's see what we can do together. And it depends. Every orchestra has a specificity, and there's something that is different and with everybody. And yet, it will be see how, with the chemistry that would happen on the stage, how much it could be bent, or it's like a dancer party, you know, how fast you can do and how you can go from one place to the other, make a twirl. And it's just all about that kind of trust happening. But I will not say that I will only hear the horns, but I do understand them. And I know that being a solo horn myself, I know that we never want to crack a note. So I know what is in there. And there's many conductors in the past that will give the evil eye to the horn when something would happen. And I know that is not what you're aiming for. You know?
Do they literally give the evil eye?
Oh my God. There's a clip of Carl Böhm doing Beethoven 7, and there's a crack in the horn, and he just look at the guy and just like, it's terrible. Look it up on YouTube. Carl Böhm, Beethoven 7. It's crazy. And that happened in the past. So whenever I go to an orchestra, and if the orchestra happen to know that I'm a French horn player, they know that I'm actually supporting and I am rooting for them and not the other way around, you know?
I'm wondering, in the time we have left, in someone in your position when you're a conductor, is there a path that you seek to improve? Do you seek to change in the work you do? In acting, what happens with young actors is they work too hard. Mm-hmm. They try to find ways to put even inappropriate levels of emotion just to demonstrate that they can do that. It's almost like juggling. I want to make sure you know. I want you to be very clear that I can juggle. And what's happening as you go along is you economize and economize and economize. Right. And you do less and less and less. And it's more effective. But my point is that for you and someone in your occupation and your profession, are there ways you seek to improve? What do you want to improve?
Yeah, well, everything, you know, with in music, this is one of the amazing things, as you know, as well with acting, is that no text is the same, even when you have it from one place to the other. The same thing happened with all of the musical of these amazing composers. So, of course, you could always dig a little bit, you know, go deeper and deeper. And at the same time, one of the things that it cannot be is that there are sometimes a repertoire that you might not be able to understand or do justice if you attack it too early or too young on it, because you will want to say like, yeah, I can do this, but yeah, but that's it. Actually, what you're actually achieving from this amazing piece of music is actually what it is, or is just the surface of it. So all the time we want to keep improving, and the conducting career is a marathon. You cannot think about it's the 100 meters kind of career, because then you will be done. You have to really keep going into
one show at a time.
Yeah, and like Blomstedt, look, he's now 92, 94. I think he's 96, actually, and he's still doing it.
He's very old, you know what I mean? Yeah. But I mean, all the different styles. I mean, like Gergiev and that twitchy hand of his. You see everybody bringing their stuff. Who's in front of the beat and who's on the beat?
Right, right.
I mean, I come out there and I'd say, if I was a conductor, I would find it difficult to be ahead of the beat. I mean, obviously, you need to know the sheet music and be able to read music very well. And then I watch conductors who are ahead of the beat.
Yeah.
And I watch conductors who play to the beat. What's the difference? Why do they choose one or the other? Well, what do you do? What do you prefer?
Yeah, well, the thing is that depends on the orchestra. Because there are orchestra that even though you are showing the beat, the sound comes a little bit later. So if you try to adapt the beat to that, the orchestra will keep being a little bit later and nothing is going to really move. So that is why sometimes you see that the conductor is actually ahead of the beat, and it's just because the orchestra knows how to do them. Yeah, they will play, they will have like an inner rhythm.
Now, much to my surprise, I didn't know this, I went to go see Lisa Weilerstein perform at Geffen Hall the other day, and I just learned this is your wife.
That is correct.
And she had just told me when we met her, that I think somebody who's a friend of hers, because it's all one big family backstage there, and someone there from New York was telling Lisa, and she, I think she said she just had the baby 5 months ago?
No, well, now a year ago. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, now, a year ago. Okay. Yeah. Well,
I mean,
not
now
too,
it's
not too
a
long
year.
Ago.
Yeah,
not too
yeah,
long
yeah,
ago.
Yeah. That's correct. Yeah.
So the two of you are waving goodbye to each other and kissing each other goodbye in airports all the time. How does that work?
A little bit. Well, we have what we call marriage schedule meetings that we actually sit with our schedule and we put things together and try to see, because we have a rule. We do not want to be apart from each other more than 2 weeks at a time.
Yeah,
that is
perfect.
That is how we
That's
want
my
to
rule.
Have. Yeah. And sometimes you have to break it, but we try to make it, if we are going to break it, it will be like every 18 months or 2 years or something like that we maybe will break it that way. And we just try to put everything like this. And we have two daughters now. I mean, the latest one is 1 year old, and our eldest is actually 7 years old.
I was one of the people at the Philharmonic years ago, because I've been doing this with them for a while now. I've been on the board, and I've been their announcer on public radio for years. And, you know, eventually we presented, because I was very excited about the Live to Picture movie program. Mm-hmm. And our program is called The Art of the Score. It's been enormously successful. It's a real moneymaker for them. And I'm wondering, have you done any live to picture up there?
I have not, but in San Diego, I mean, not myself, but we do program it, actually, yes.
Well, I want to do live to picture with you.
Oh,
I want to come up to Montreal. We'll do live to picture.
Sounds good. Absolutely. San Diego and Montreal, both.
Let me just finish by saying, beyond thank you, and beyond thank you from giving us some of your very, very limited free time, I just want to say that when I saw you there at Carnegie Hall, I said, this guy's the next great conductor in the ensemble universe.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, you lit the place on fire. Everybody went nuts applauding. They loved you. They loved the piece. And your energy and variety and your passion and your discipline. I mean, you have everything just coming together in this unique package. There really isn't anybody like you out there right now, you know?
Oh, well, thank you. You're very kind.
My thanks to conductor and music director Rafael Payare. We leave you with the Adagietto from Mahler's Fifth Symphony. Rafael Payare conducts the Montreal Symphony Orchestra.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.